Welcome to the Tech and Main Presents podcast with your host, Sean St. Hill. Sean is the CEO of Tech and Main, a technology consulting firm in Atlanta, Georgia. Listen in as thought leaders share their tips and insights about what's going on in the world of technology. And now, here's your host, Sean St. Hill.
Thank you for joining another episode of Tech and Main Presents, where we bring you the best insights from today's leaders and experts in technology. Today, we will be speaking with Dan Bruder. Dan is the CEO and founder of Blendification. Dan, welcome to the Tech and Main Presents podcast.
Thanks, Sean. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, sir. My pleasure. Always a pleasure bringing wonderful new guests like yourself to our audience. And so, Dan, with that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Well, I guess I can go all the way back. Generally speaking, I was an athlete growing up and enjoyed playing football, started running track, and that started influencing my life. So if I really look back at where my influences began, I'd have to say a lot of it had to do with sports, but went to college, and after college started in the banking industry.
Okay.
And I didn't know then, but an entrepreneurial mindset. So I started in the big bank areas and did all the credit training and corporate banking stuff, but ended up going into a small bank. And at 26 years old, I became president of a bank, which was not supposed to happen, and nor was I really good at it. So I didn't last too long before I realized that I was a fish out of water, but it was a nice path to get me to where I was going. I later joined Marriott, and specifically Marriott Vacation Club, and got into the resort development business. And
okay.
That was a lot of fun. But
I bet that was.
Yeah, it was great. What a great organization Marriott is, and the impact they've made on the world. They're just so big right now. And later on, I went into some more entrepreneurial things. I decided to leave the corporate world primarily because I was really passionate about raising my kids in Colorado. And I didn't want to go down the path of the constant move with the corporate ladder type thing, but it had nothing to do with Marriott itself. It was really more to do with trying to settle down with my kids and raise them in a community type atmosphere. So that caused me to do some smaller company entrepreneurial things, and ultimately led to where I am today in Blendification, and building that process out and building something that I think can make a pretty substantial difference in this world. I did partner with a gentleman that's a software entrepreneur back in 2021, and we've been on the path of developing software, really Blendification software, over the course of the last 18 months and rolling that out, which has been a lot of fun. So he brings an experienced platform for technology development and building companies. He built up a company and then sold it. And so it's been really, really nice to have a partner that looks at things differently than I do, but we also merge and Converge come together very nicely too.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So Dan, I want to go back to something that you just mentioned around the importance of raising your kids in a community, right? So for someone that's had a varied background in banking, the resort industry, so forth, right? You've reached the pinnacle in some people's eyes, right? President of a bank and things of that sort. But the thing that I love was you mentioned that along the way, you made the decision to prioritize family and how they would be raised and where they would be living. What brought you to that?
Well, I think family is a really a reflection. Our kids, I do believe our kids are a reflection of who we are. In fact, I was talking to my daughter earlier today, and she was telling me about what she's doing in her career. And I just smiled because she was talking about some of the positive feedback she was getting from some of her peers and her boss. And I said, every time you tell me that, it feels like you're complimenting me, but it's really about you. So I do live somewhat vicariously through my kids. And at an early age, I realized that, man, if I can do anything right in my life, let it be being a good parent. And because you look at it, you bring these kids into the world, and they have such a possibility for great impact that far surpasses our life. And I was also experienced in seeing several people that I that I call successful failures, meaning that they're very, very successful in their life. And you had mentioned being president of a bank or whatever title. And in society's world, that kind of illustrates that we're successful, but underneath we could be an absolute failure. So I worked with, then there's one person in particular who was a partner with an organization that I worked with, and he was kind of the richest, most wealthy, two airplanes type guy, and always at all the parties and drinking and all this stuff. But he was didn't have a very good relationship with his ex-wife. His kids despised him. In fact, the only reason his kids talked to him is because they wanted to hang on for the trust fund.
Oh, and, wow.
Not to judge him or his kids, but it was like, sure, from my perspective, I don't want to be that. I definitely don't want to be that person. I would much rather fail in my career and be successful as a husband and a parent than I do being successful and saying, look at all the money I have that basically vaporizes anyway. So,
come on, Dan Bruder. Over there sounding like an old country preacher, man. That's good stuff, buddy. I like that.
South. I am from the South, so.
Oh, man. No, that's. So the thing that I take away is that there's no amount of material success. There's no amount of career success that can replace not being a parental or family success.
Yeah, I do believe that. Now, I also think that, I guess the word blendification, that's a word I came up with, but ideally, wouldn't it be cool if we could succeed in multiple different areas and then allow each of those areas to complement each other?
Absolutely. Yes.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that? It's like, why do we have to choose? Why does everything have to be like these polar opposites? Like, well, if I succeed at work, therefore I must not be a good husband or father. What if we had a life goal to succeed at all these things, but if we can succeed at one of these things and then look at how it impacts the other, I think that's kind of the holy grail or that gold that we're looking for is really, how does work impact life and how does life impact work? And let's just look at them as kind of the same. It's like me. It's not like, here's my work life and here's my personal life and here's my friend life. It's like, it's just me. I'm only one person.
No, that's good, Dan. And I appreciate you going down that rabbit trail with me. But it's actually a nice setup for this next question, which is the work that you're doing there at Blendification. What has you most excited about that daily work that you're doing?
Well, I think from a technology perspective, it's really what we're developing and implementing and rolling out from a technology platform perspective. And I say this because if you go back and you think of consulting, basically I ran a consulting company for the past several years. In my consulting projects, I would go into companies and I would do workshops generally with the leadership team. And we would work on culture, we would work on strategy, execution, and personal development. And I would touch roughly 3% of the company. And then I would leave the company, I'd walk away, and I would say, boy, I hope this translates to the rest of the company, but there's no way they're going to hire me to reach the person that they just hired yesterday that's swinging a hammer out on a job site somewhere. And I felt like, what a tragedy, because these companies just aren't able to scale this really high value consulting information or knowledge or process. And it really just stays in the executive suite and it never really translates to the organization. And so my goal was to, how do we come up with a process or a system that helps everybody in the company? Because me, I grew up in not necessarily a good town or a good neighborhood. And it took some people to tap me on the shoulder and say, I think you've got something. Let me help you find it. And so many people, they start in companies and nobody in the organization taps them on the shoulder and they think, oh yeah, we can't spend money on them. So entering technology. So now I think what we can do is take that same stuff that I would be doing with executives around strategy, creating a framework around strategy and execution, and digitalize it. And now we can take the company strategy and allow it to be accessible by everyone in the company. So they see where the company's going. They can see how they fit into this company. And then taking it a step further, if we were to develop an executive on personal development type stuff or some leadership team, why can't we just make that available to the people, everybody in the company? And we can do that through digital technology. And that's essentially what we've done, is we've created this space we call consult tech, consulting technology. And now everyone in the company can be basically have the same access to this information that the CEO and the leadership and the executive team has. And we're not really saying, hey, you're not worth it. Now everybody's worth it because we make it so cheap.
Dan, I love that, because as one who has worked, you know, in both corporate and in my own venture, the power of mentoring and leadership, right? That's what I'm hearing as you're talking about what blendification does. So I don't have to be seen as an up and comer or a part of that special strata of employees that are selected to meet with an executive once a week and then groomed for that VP or senior VP role. I mean, effectively, anyone at the company can have access to the tools and learnings necessary to develop and be a great leader.
Yeah, absolutely. And the cool thing about this is, there's a lot of people that for one reason or another feel like their opinion isn't heard, or maybe it was their elementary school teacher that said, shut up and sit down. Maybe it was their parent, maybe it was a coach or something like that. And then they became timid, but deep down inside, they have kind of what I call a spark of greatness, but they've dimmed that spark. They've almost put it out or extinguished it. And so then they come into a company in an entry-level role. They're just really looking for a job, but deep down inside, in the heart, they've got something that they can offer. And so many people just write them off because they're timid or they're not outgoing. And then we give them, you know, we give them access to certain level of training and development. They're like, hey, I've got something. I need to start building on this. And you never know who's going to come out of the woodwork. And it's usually not the person that you said that we're like, oh yeah, here's the next VP or something like that. It's somebody that's like, man, no one ever really gave me this opportunity. I'm going to run with it. And then it's like, they come out of the woodwork, and it's amazing because everybody's got something to offer. It's really our job as leaders to really spark that and ignite that.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. There's an audio book. Well, actually, I don't think it's the audio version, but I want to find it. It's Acting Up by Janice Bryant Howard. She is an African-American lady who started Act One Group, which is an employment service agency. And she built it from obviously the ground up to now being worth well over $1 billion, right? And in that book, she talks about how each of the managers of the respective employment agent offices, they are tasked with leading and building the talent pool and morale in that office, right? And she used the word, and it's a word that I hadn't heard in years, but she used the word intrapreneurs.
Yeah.
Right. And Dan, something about what you're saying marries so nicely with what Janice is talking about in that book, right? It's building and allowing people to have that spark of greatness come out. Right. And so, man, I'm sitting over here geeked about what you're talking about, man, because it's so relevant. Right. And I'll say one other thing. I think coming out of the pandemic, right, we've slowly started to go back to that, what I call hustle and grind mindset and hustle and grind way of life. Right. Where we almost forgot that the pandemic existed. Right. And so we're back to, how quickly can I climb the ladder? I got to leave early and come home late. Like we've gone back to that place where we don't have everything blended anymore. It's now we're back to work, right? And so I think what you're talking about, yeah, it's just that wonderful reminder that one, technology is a powerful tool, and you can give people access to this great content and great information, but the need to not silo ourselves, right? And make work the only thing of importance in our lives. So,
yeah, you mentioned silo. It really somewhat drives me crazy, because if I shared with you all my background, you would wonder, who are you? Because I've done corporate finance, corporate marketing, corporate sales, regional leadership, on-site leadership. I've done strategic planning, technology, all these different things. So these labels that we try to give people, like, oh, you're an accounting person, you can't possibly discuss sales and marketing. And I think we need to break down those barriers, because that limits human potential by saying, hey, stay in your lane. And so much of business historically has been find out what somebody is and make them do that. And I don't subscribe to that. It's like, man, why don't you, just because you're in finance doesn't mean you can't help out with marketing and sales. You have an opinion too. So, but we need to create a structure in an organization that actually encourages and embraces the natural ability for people to jump out of their comfort zone and get exposed to other things. And that's really, so underneath all this, that's one of the things that I'm really, really passionate about, is helping people see other lenses, or see the company through other lenses.
Okay. And Dan, we've probably already touched on this a little bit, but I'll ask it formally. For those clients of yours there at Blendification, what major issues would you say they're facing?
Well, I think not just my clients, I think every company in the world is facing the fact that work and life, while they are connected, employees are becoming more disconnected from their work. So we're seeing that we can work from home, so there's this natural integration of work and life. But the truth is work serves much more than a paycheck. And for years and years, we would get up, we would go to work, we would get paid. But while we're at work, we communicated with people, we made friends, we were part of something in this, whatever that environment was, and we were actually connecting and belonging to something meaningful, which happens to be a primary driver for human beings, is the desire to connect and belong. But what happened with COVID, and this was happening anyway, by the way, COVID just accelerated, is we continued to work, but we were disconnected from work and the people at work. Now, we still talk to them. We can still talk, but the connection went away. So what happened right after COVID was we found out that, well, this isn't that bad. We're all still pretty productive. In fact, we're more productive at home because we don't have all these interruptions. But what we lost was the connectivity. So we gained productivity and sacrificed connectivity. And when you lose connectivity as a human being, you start losing your motivation. You start losing your importance, your drive. And then what happens? We look at where we are today, and then it's like, well, gosh, I can work from home for anybody because I'm not connected to anybody. There's no loyalty. There's no connection. There's no belonging. There's no meaning. It's just a bunch of tasks, and I can do tasks for anyone. So I quit. And that's what we've seen. And I think that's one element. So now if you ask about what are my clients dealing with, that is the key thing, is that it's not the great resignation. That's a result of a lack of connection and belonging. So now we need to restore this connection and belonging without thinking that we're going to go back to the way things were. So now that's what we got to figure out, how we can actually use technology, not to just talk, but to actually connect and really replace what we used to have. I think that's the dominant problem that I see. And of course, we have some other challenges with business from a supply chain perspective, but that to me, I think, is short-term relative to the lack of connection, which I think that's cultural.
Okay. And so how does Blendification help deal with that?
Well, the connection, I mean, really, if you look at software, most software is designed to increase productivity somehow. And productivity, I don't think productivity is our problem as a society. I think we're pretty productive. I think our problem is our lack of connection and belonging. So our goal when we developed Blendification was to bring businesses and employees together, essentially align business interests with employee interests. And so what we're trying to do is to go into an organization and say, let's build something meaningful within your organization through a cultural and strategic platform that then can be distributed through technology to the entire organization. So they see where the organization's going using a specific framework, which we call the strategy whiteboard software application. So it's a strategy whiteboard that connects culture, strategy, and execution. That's all done on software. And then taking that, allowing everybody in the organization to see it, but then taking it a step further and then saying, well, the same framework we use to plan and execute our business culture and strategy, why don't we just modify that a little bit, but use that same framework and open that to all the employees to say, here's an app for you as an employee to plan, develop, build, and execute on your life goals. And it's basically mirrors that of the business goals. And what happens is there's a convergence rather than a divergence when employees start building their life using the same framework that the business is using. And it's all done technologically. So there's everyone in the company that can see the company's direction. Now, they're not building the strategy, right? But there's, you still have the executives building the strategy, but they see it. Now they can relate to it. And then they take that same framework. We call it a personal whiteboard, and the personal whiteboard software. And then they use that as a platform to develop where they're going in their life. And then we create internal peer accountability groups, both on the strategy side and the personal side. So we create greater connections through technology. It's really, I think it's the next wave of technology. Cause like Zoom is awesome because we can talk, but
right,
what we need to do is connect. And that's, we need software to start probing us to connect, not just putting us in a chat room.
No, I couldn't agree more. So Dan, I'm curious, let's say I'm an employee at a client who is using Blendification, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've got the whiteboard for the business goals and
yes,
business objectives, but then we've got the personal whiteboard for my life goals and life objectives. Let's say I'm a millennial, and yeah, chances are I'm not going to be there much longer, Dan. I'm probably going to tender my resignation and go somewhere else. Do I have the ability to at least maybe unplug, I guess would be a good word, from the business goals, but still keep my life goals? How does that work?
Well, there's two pieces to that. One is, so if I build out my personal whiteboard in the context of the organization, because the organization's paying for this, right?
Sure, sure.
So the individual starts building out their personal life plan. And let's just say their life plan, and we divide life up into four areas. One is relationships, two is our wellness, three is our work, and four is personal interests. So let's just say one of my personal focuses or personal outcomes is to leave the company in a year. Now, I want that individual to have to work with the confidentiality that they are not, that's not going to be seen by anybody. So we create confidentiality. So everybody's okay, personal whiteboard is completely confidential, but there is the risk that somebody actually builds a whole life plan around leaving your company. Right. But they're doing that anyway.
Right.
And my answer to that is that that's awesome. If we really are interested in the person and they want to pursue their happiness through other channels, we want to help them get there. And if we're doing this really well, meaning that if we're building a business platform and a framework around strategy, we're sharing it, we're creating transparency, and then we also allow individuals to plan their life, I bet when that person leaves, and this is what has happened through the Great Recession, when that person leaves because their plan was to leave the company, there's a few people waiting in line because they see the opportunity to work for a company that is one, transparent, and two, invests in their personal development. And that's what I think happens. But more power to you, man. If you want to leave, build that process. Good luck. I know there's five people waiting to come in the doors because we've got an unbelievable culture and we're going somewhere that's meaningful. That's what I think.
Okay. Oh, and I love that answer. All right. So Dan, let's flip this a little bit and ask some questions that are specific to you. Starting with, name your favorite musician or band.
Ooh, musician. I would say band. I'm a product of the 80s, but my music evolved from the 70s. So I would say my all-time favorite is probably Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
But more recently, Greta Van Fleet seems pretty cool, but one of the things that I've been really getting into is this transition with classical music playing historically popular music, like and the band, or not the band, but the two guys, the piano guys. I don't know if you ever heard of those guys. They're two brothers and they play the piano and the cello, but they're playing like AC/DC and stuff like that.
It's okay.
Pretty cool. So I just like that whole feeling.
Oh, that sounds really cool. Yeah, there's a couple of violin players that were here in Atlanta recently. My wife and another couple, we went to see them at one of the local venues. And I mean, they are classically trained violinists, mm-hmm. right? But they are playing contemporary urban music, hip hop, and it's just this amazing show. It's high energy, and you're hearing music that you're used to hearing, but it's coming from a violin. And I mean, we just had the best time. And yeah, I think it's beautiful when you can hear classical instruments or people that are classically trained mm-hmm. play the music that we're used to listening to. And it sounds phenomenal. So
yeah, we actually saw them. My wife and I went and saw them at Red Rocks, which was a really cool concert.
Oh, okay.
Out here in Denver. I know a lot of people might know that venue. It's a really cool place. It's just a neat sound. And of course you can relate to the music as well.
Exactly. Oh, good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. So Dan, how about a favorite hobby or pastime?
Well, hobby wise, I still stay very active. I mentioned earlier the influence of athletics on my life. And so once I graduated from college, I was like, what do I do now? I don't have a sport anymore. So I started doing triathlons, and that evolved to short triathlons and to longer triathlons and then Ironman. And then it evolved into some 24-hour endurance races. So I participate in some fairly extreme endurance type things. And I'm fascinated with seeing how far we can push our bodies and our minds, because I don't think we've scratched the surface on what we can do. So why not experiment to see how far we can go? And even at a somewhat older age now, I still feel like I have a lot more I can do. So I think that's probably anything that has to do with some sort of a physical challenge.
Okay.
I'd consider that a hobby.
Oh, that's good stuff. So two things. One, are you familiar with the name David Goggins?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So as I'm listening to you, I'm hearing David Goggins. And for those of our listeners that may not be familiar with David Goggins is, as Dan was mentioning about himself, he's a triathlete. He's done 24-hour endurance races, ex-military, and just all-around badass. And he uses that training and that experience. And he had a horrible upbringing, but his mindset is you can overcome anything, right? If you put your mind to it. And like Dan was mentioning as his ethos, right, David Goggins has this same one of, let's see how far we can push ourselves, right?
Yeah, without dying.
Without dying. That's important, Dan. Yeah.
There's an important parameter there, right?
Yes. Touche, sir. Touche. Yeah. You don't want to expire necessarily in experimenting with that, but within reason, right? Seeing what that capacity is.
Wasn't he the only one, or isn't he the only one? I might be confusing him with somebody else, but the only one that has completed Army Ranger training and Navy SEAL training.
He's one of few, if not the only one. For some reason, Jocko Willick is coming to mind.
I mean, could be him too. I might be thinking of him as well.
Yeah, their stories parallel each other, but yeah, both ex-military. And again, it's the mindset, mm-hmm. right? And not settling for what you think is that boundary. And I'll say this last thing. So, and this episode hasn't come out yet, but there is an interview that I did earlier this week with a gentleman who is the former head of data for a very well-known co-working space company.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about his role at the company, and then he's since left to form his own startup in the data analytics space. Anyway, the thing that he got to talking about was meditation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how meditation has helped him realize that whatever you think is your boundary, physically, et cetera, he's like, there's a level beyond it that you can push to. Right.
Yeah. I'm totally with you on that, because I almost feel ashamed that I'm not doing more, because you look at people, I mean, Elon Musk fascinates me. Whether or not we agree with him, that's a different story. But how does a human being do what he's doing? I can't figure that out. If he's a little bit more fit, then I'd say, yeah, he's not, he just needs to be a little more fit. But you look at people and you go, how do they do all this stuff? And they're just, their minds, their ability to focus is so far beyond what the normal human being really chases. And I think we all have it in us. We just have to figure it out.
Well, and Dan, I think that ties nicely back to blendification, right? Where you're giving people access to the tools that can help them push past where they are as that junior analyst or that junior accounting person, right? You have access to the tools and the resources to help you go to that next level, right? Because you thought, hey, I was an accounting major and this company's hired me to do accounting and that's all I can or should do, right? But no, there's greatness beyond what you're currently doing, right?
I totally agree. So many people, particularly in business, there's a few people that tell you can accomplish a lot. There's a lot of people that say, just do what I tell you to do. And I think we need more people helping us and encouraging us and really building up the character. And that's not just happy talk. It's really about challenging people to stretch their boundaries and stretch their capabilities. There's not enough people doing that.
Hear, hear, Dan. All right. Let me ask you this question. What is your favorite place to go on vacation?
I think it's, I guess based on what I said earlier, it's anywhere that I'm with my wife and my kids at the same time. And those days that I have a little bit older kids, they don't happen as frequently as I'd like. And so I'd honestly rather be sitting here in my house with my wife and my two daughters than hanging out on a beach in Tahiti by myself. But of course, there's some cool places. I mean, I did some work and spent some time in Croatia and took my family out to Dubrovnik. And I thought that was a really, really cool place. There's some culture, history, and it's a really pretty place too. So that would be one of the places, physical places. But I guess the place is where we put our mind, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Love that answer. Dan, let's find out. What teacher at any level has had the greatest impact on you?
In high school, I had a football coach that he was my PE coach, PE teacher too. So I'll put him in the teacher category. But my football coach was really a cool guy. We hit it off, and I was pretty young and somewhat stupid when I started in high school. And he I remember him walking down the halls one day. And he said, hey, Bruder, you're going to run track. I was like, I'm not running track. He goes, no, you're running track. Be there this afternoon. And next thing, I was running track in my Pro Keds. I don't know if you remember those shoes. And
I do.
Wore them out on a track. But he basically said, you can get out there and run. I didn't actually know that I was fast because I'd never ran. I just played football. But in high school, I ran track and I was relatively fast. And so he taught me some things about you can do some things that you may not be used to doing and stepping outside your comfort zone. And even today, I mean, it's been over 35 years since I was in high school. Don't age me, but I talked to my coach quite a bit, and even today. So we've talked within the last few weeks, and I'm really thankful to still have a good relationship with my football coach from high school. And it's pretty cool. I really cherish that.
Oh, shout out to Coach.
Yeah.
That's good guy. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. All right. So, Dan, this last question will put us in the time machine. And we are going to go back to 18-year-old Dan Bruder. What is the Dan Bruder of today going to tell his 18-year-old self?
I think it would be cool if someone said, the choices you make impact the path you're on and your direction, and who you surround yourself with, who you hang out with, what you read starts influencing who you are and who you are becoming. So I guess the advice would be is, one, find out who you want to become, your pursuits, and then identify and analyze who you are now, and then surround yourself or create influences in between that allow you to become the person you want to be by the things you read, the people you hang out with, what you watch. But be really intentional about who you hang out with, because I believe that your direction, where we're going and where we are today, determines our outcomes. And sometimes we think that, yeah, there's a certain activity that we think is really just a temporary diversion from where we want to go. Say, for example, I want to move up the corporate ladder, or I want to be successful in my career, yet I go out Monday through Thursday and drink at various different things, and I show up at work hungover. We think these Monday through Thursday are just really a diversion on the path to where we're going, but truly they actually create some really significant unintended consequences. And I think if we're going to go back and look at my life, it's like, hey, I wish somebody would have said, what you're doing today is impacting where you're going, whether that's 18 years old, 17 years old, 25 years old. So be very, very cognizant of who you're hanging out with, what you're reading, what you're listening to. And then I'm not telling you what to read or what not to read, but make sure that aligns with where you want to go in life, and be very selective about your influences. And I think that's probably the advice I'd give myself, because I had a few friends and such along the way that I probably shouldn't have had. And there was probably a few nights I probably should have stayed home. And so just being more cognizant of aligning our influences with our outcomes.
Oh, well, Dan, I appreciate you being reflective like that, because yeah, there are many of us listening, present company included, that will echo that sentiment. Choice of friends. Yeah. The nights we should have stayed home. And so, yeah, I think that's phenomenal advice. Dan, to say that this has been a pleasure is an understatement. Man, you are a good egg, and I have just thoroughly enjoyed having you on the podcast. But before we let you go, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, I think there's the LinkedIn profile out there. My website, blendification.com, is a good way to just send go to the contact form and just send a note. And those are probably the best way. Reach out on LinkedIn and or my website, and just send a note. I'd love to chat with anybody. So it's always fun having these discussions, and welcome the opportunity to just meet and, you know, converse with other people. It's really cool.
Okay. All right. Well, Dan, we'll definitely put that in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Sean. This has been a pleasure to spend some time with you here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely mutual, my friend. And so with that, Techamay Presents family, thank you as always for listening. And be sure to tune in next time when we will have another technology expert share their wisdom. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to another episode of Tech and Main Presents. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Don't forget to tell your friends, and thanks for being a part of the Tech and Main Presents community.